This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, we're back, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We're talking about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Our guest today is Patrick Shoma, president of Maryland Shall Issue. We're talking about firearms. We're talking about legislation here in Maryland, some of the invasive laws that are going to be introduced and are introduced. And if you think as a hunter it doesn't affect you, guess what? It does. 145 firearms on the list to be banned in Maryland. You know, we already have a handgun roster of firearms that are permitted. It's not as bad as it could be, but the 145 firearms are it's a threat. Let's put it that way. You're welcome to call in if you have any specific questions for Patrick Shoma. He's the president of Maryland Shall Issue, and we welcome your calls at 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. If you're listening online and have a question, Ellis at Ellis Outdoors, my last name, E-L-L-I-S at EllisOutdoors.com. You're welcome to send us an email. Also, while we're taking this little break here and coming into the hour and getting ready to talk to Patrick, I'd like to remind you to go to Ellis Outdoors website, EllisOutdoors.com, and you'll see the entities that Ellis Outdoors is involved in. The radio show is one. The Maryland Hunting Quarterly is another. Maryland Loves Crabs is another. Those are both magazines. Like us on Facebook, if you would. That helps us and get you access. We appreciate that. Now let's talk to Patrick. Are you there, Patrick? Can you bring him up?
I sure am.
Yes, yeah, sir. Okay, good. I couldn't hear you there. Very good.
I was on mute and pouring some tea. So
pouring some tea. I went and refreshed the coffee during the break, so hopefully we'll both be able to function.
Except burns a hole in my stomach.
All right. Where we left this conversation was that the bill hasn't been dropped yet, but you know that there's a list being prepared for our General Assembly of a list of firearms. If you hearken back to the days when Governor Schaefer was in office and introduced the handgun roster board, they reviewed the features of every firearm that's legal to be sold in Maryland, and I don't think that anybody has been necessarily harmed by the handgun roster board. But what I did want to point out is that when the governor, during the time of the national assault rifle ban, was talking about that, he actually could not find in the state police section of seized firearms, he could not find a, quote, assault rifle. He had to go to a local gun dealer and borrow one off the shelf so he could hold it up and make a statement about assault weapons. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, and there's a very good reason for that. So let's talk about, I'd like to wrap up, if it's okay with you. I'd like to give everyone an idea of what we're going to be looking at. But specifically, what you talk about with assault weapon, you know what's really odd? They want to ban assault weapons. FBI uniform crime statistics came out just about 2 weeks ago in the midst of this. Take a look at the numbers. There isn't a single thing that the Maryland State Police calls an assault weapon that killed anybody in Maryland last year.
Ah, okay. There you
all
go.
All right.
Not one incident of anybody being killed by a, quote,
in the entire state of Maryland, only two long guns were used in a murder.
Two.
In all of last year, only two long guns, which, by the way, essentially mirrors what happens nationwide. I think nationwide, 648, give or take, long guns were used in the commission of a violent felony, a violent crime last year.
Mm-hmm.
648 against the backdrop of a nation of almost 400 million people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so this attention that's being placed onto, you know, semi-auto rifles is misplaced, especially in Maryland. If you remove every single thing that they want to call an assault weapon from the state of Maryland, and you did it last year. Not a single, and you assume that by doing so, people wouldn't turn to some other firearm or a knife or something else.
Right. Hammer, baseball bat, tire iron.
So if the magic unicorn rides over on his rainbow and makes them all disappear tomorrow, guess what? Doesn't change a dang thing.
Right.
So we're putting a lot of energy into it. What does stay, though, are the hundreds and hundreds of people being killed in Maryland every year by people who are released early from prison.
Ah.
So we're not looking at that.
No, of course not. And, you know, as Wayne LaPierre brought out, and it was never really touted, he said, you know, federal firearm prosecutions under this administration have dropped by 40%.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had tough handgun laws or tough firearm laws here on the books that get pleaded away in court anyway. Well, Your Honor, you know, yeah, he did have a handgun, but, you know, he will plead guilty to burglary, but we really, you know, we don't want to plead on that handgun thing. That's a federal offense. And oh, okay, no problem. Tell him
absolutely
to be a good boy next time when he gets out early.
Absolutely. And
yeah.
And you know, Joe Biden, the president, Vice President Joe Biden, it's reported in the meeting he did, you know, the dog and pony show that they did at the White House, they invited the NRA up. The NRA said, you know, look, there are, you know, the 4473, which everyone who's listened to this show knows, it's the thing you fill out.
That yellow piece of paper when you go to buy a firearm, right?
The NRA says, look, there are people there to check off the box and say, I'm not a felon, but they're felons. And you catch them right there at the counter.
Okay, right.
You call the NICS people.
Right.
And there are thousands of these that happen every single year.
Yep.
And they never get prosecuted. This is
right.
A case of someone who is a criminal, like a prohibited person,
right,
trying to get access to a firearm. Nothing says ding, 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 come arrest me like that.
Right.
Why are we not doing it? And Vice President Biden is reported to look at it and say, we just don't have the time for that.
Don't have time for it. Of course not. Now, we have time to make a big play in the media. We have time to make a show that we're actually trying to protect the children. But we don't have time to prosecute the really dangerous criminals. After all, they may vote for us.
Yeah, I don't know if that's their line of thinking of the voting thing, but a lot of people do. And I want to be careful not to conflate my personal opinion with that of the organization.
That would be very good if you did not report that. That's for sure.
If we have a moment, I
sure
want to just let everyone know at the top of the hour here what we're looking at in terms of legislation. So
well,
first off,
all
we
right
don't have much. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Before we do that, and we do invite our listeners to call 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680. And as they are wont to do when we have a guest online who is as informed as you are, they do not want to call because they want to listen. They trust me to ask the right questions, and hopefully I do. And if I don't, please call. But, you know, I think folks know my position by now. Over the last couple of weeks, we've had a few discussions on firearms. We've had some people that felt that Wayne LaPierre missed a perfect opportunity in his press release to offer a compromise, an olive branch to the government, so to speak. And I got a little cranked up about that because I don't think this is a time or place to compromise. And I think that's why the president has done all these executive actions, because he also knows that. But that being said, before we do that, I'd like you to just explain what Maryland Shall Issue is to our listeners and then go from there.
Absolutely. Maryland Shall Issue is one of the states, well, I think we are the state's largest Second Amendment-based organization. So our goal is to represent those people in the state who have an interest in maintaining their rights. Now, our Shall Issue heritage is essentially that of the organization stood up. And one of our primary goals is to make sure that any law-abiding person in this state can exercise the right to wear and carry a firearm for personal self-defense. That's it. I mean, that is a very simple way of putting it. Now, beyond that, we of course have to look at the entire realm of Second Amendment activities. So,
right,
we've grown, we've come into our own, and we now take essentially responsibility for trying to gather up as many people as we can to make sure that we can educate as many people as we can as to the effects of state laws, the effects of federal laws, regulations on hunters, on sports shooters.
You're an information network.
Yes, and essentially we're a grassroots activist network. We work with other state groups. The Associated Gun Clubs out of Baltimore represents 29 gun clubs.
Right.
We work very closely with them. Now, of course, we overlap a lot of our areas of interest, but at the same time, they have some very, you know, peculiar expertise when it comes to regulations surrounding everything from zoning to gun clubs and everything else. And, of course, we have our own unique experience and expertise as well. So when we combine, we're actually fairly formidable when it comes to meeting with lawmakers and being able to answer all of their questions. And, of course, now we have the NRA, who is back in the state. So the NRA is back, everybody, and they are working with us, and they are essentially part of the team. And
okay.
So it's nice to have them back, and it's nice to have good liaisons from them that we can work with and the lawmakers can ask questions of and get answers from.
All right. We have a couple of callers on the line, We're not going to stray far away from what we have in the General Assembly. We do want to get that in, but let's talk to John in Cockeysville and get his comment. Good morning, John. How are you?
Okay. Two quick things I wanted to ask. First thing is, now I served 20 years in the military.
Right.
But I'm disabled. I have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I'm bipolar.
All right.
Now, I've never purchased a handgun. But I'm willing to bet if I try it now, because of my background with the psychiatric problem, I couldn't get one.
Right, probably so.
Second thing is, what are they going to do about confiscating weapons from all these street gangs?
Nothing.
More heavily armed than the average citizen.
Nothing.
And the police.
Nothing. If you recall, a number of years ago, John, maybe you remember this, maybe you don't, we had the, I believe the Maryland State Police were also involved with the Baltimore City Police. They made a sweeping invasion of the block. And I know they made, I think they caught a hooker with a doobie, if I recall. And you know, it was a giant police action. There's no reason they couldn't do that in some of these neighborhoods in Baltimore. And but, you know, you don't want to violate anybody's civil rights. What do you say about that, Patrick?
Well, John, thank you for calling. First off, thank you for your service. I'm a veteran as well.
Yes.
And I understand that it's tough to look at some of the things that they're asking us to do these days and compare it with what we were asked to do for them once before. So I applaud your service. When it comes to purchasing handguns in the state, you know, if right now you'd have a hard time finding stock, first off.
Right, you can't find anything
about it. That do have it. There is the chance that if you're treated, the standard Maryland uses right now is essentially one of, if you're a danger to yourself or others. If you're not a danger to yourself or others, you're not going to have a problem. If you feel that you're a responsible person, and if there's nothing out there to say that you are an irresponsible person, then I would say to you that you're probably not going to have an issue. But to the larger piece, you know, what we see with the upcoming legislation is a significant interest in the law-abiding person in trying to stop us from doing things.
Right.
So they're trying to stop us from exercising our right.
Exactly.
What we do not see is nearly anything regarding those people with true mental health issues in terms of being a danger to society or themselves. And we don't see anything affecting crime. I'll just give you one quick additional note, which is the state of Maryland to this day, after Virginia Tech, there was a big push to try to push mental health concern cases into the system, the federal system, to prevent the purchase of a firearm.
We had that in the General Assembly last year, if I remember.
To this day, Maryland still does not comply with the federal recommendations and guidelines for submitting dangerous people to NICS. Maryland is not reporting all of these people to the federal government. They do not do what they do report, they're not doing correctly. And they have left a mess. They talk about gun show loophole. Let's talk about prohibited person loophole. Maryland simply is not compliant with that system.
Right.
There is nothing in the governor's proposed legislation that we can see that suggests they're going to close that loophole. Nothing.
Very good.
Instead, they are going to work tooth and nail to license owners. They're going to make you go get... this is not tinfoil hat, guys. Time. This is real. You have to really pay attention to what's going on here. You are going to buy a firearm, a handgun in particular in this state. You are going to have to go to your state police barracks. You are going to have to fill out paperwork. You are going to have to get fingerprinted on the spot. You are going to have to take a training course. That training course is going to include, almost surely, live fire. are going to introduce the same language they tried last year. They put something up last year, which Maryland Shale issue, AGC, we fought and we beat them. Because what they wanted to do was put in place a system that to purchase a firearm, handgun, you were going to have to take this training class, which didn't exist. NRA classes wouldn't count. Hunter safety wouldn't count.
Right.
It was only something the Maryland Police Commission created. They're a political body. You were going to have to take this training course. You were going to have to live fire a whole day. I mean, essentially what it does is say their cost.
They're trying to make it cost you money and be as inconvenient as possible for you to own a firearm in Maryland.
It was going to cost you around $400.
$400.
About $400. It was estimated between $4 and $4.25 for all the. If you included the ammo, it was 200 rounds of ammo or something like that, which 40 cents a round.
Yeah, that's
today,
a. That's
I don't even know what they. I mean, I don't even know what 9mm is going for.
Oh, today. It's unreal.
It's got to be 60, 60, 70 cents a round. I mean, that is what they did. They tried last year. We beat them. That's what's coming back this year.
Right.
And they're going to do this. And this is what they are trying to put.
They're going to attempt to do it. They're going to introduce this legislation in the General Assembly.
That's what we're told.
Okay. And that's what's coming. Very good.
And they're going to make you do it for every single handgun, according to the what the governor has listed so far, says that for every firearm, you will do this.
Yep. Very good.
Every firearm. Every handgun.
Every handgun. All right. Very good. Want to take another question? Let's talk to Dave in Howard County. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. How's everybody today?
We're good. How about you?
Oh, if I was any better, they'd probably upgrade me to miserable. The thing that concerns me, I'd like to ask your guest, are they going to have a rally down in Annapolis this year? And what is the date if they are?
Excellent question. Thank you for calling in, Dave. We're going to be doing, there is every year in the General Assembly, the way it works over there is they introduce all these bills with guns, and there's something we call Gun Day. Gun Day is the day at which the House and the Senate each schedule in parallel hearings on all of the gun bills. And they do this so the lawmakers are, they try to do this so that all the things that are on a certain topic are heard at one time. So they'll do this with taxes, gambling, whatever. Gun Day will happen probably sometime in mid-February. It's not been scheduled yet because all the legislation hasn't been put in yet. Gun Day is the day that we need everybody to show up. There are two rallies that are being discussed on the Internet. One is today and one is February 8th. What I'll say about those is, I mean, good on the people who are trying to organize them. No one contacted any of the state-level groups to help coordinate. And had they done that, it probably would have gone off a little easier because we would have actually been able to get our members involved. As it stands, we heard rumors of stuff on the Internet. So right now, what we're going to do, and we're working with the people for the February 8th rally. It's run by a registered nurse. Her name is Ellen. She's over on the Eastern Shore. Absolutely, phenomenally involved in this thing. I mean, I give her credit. She is like a one-woman activist network. And she just got very angry and upset and said, I have never done this before in my life, but I'll be damned if I let them do it now. I'm going to do it right now. So she went to town, and she has done amazing things. That said,
and that's one person getting involved. And
that's
that
one person.
And that was the question.
Person.
That was like a question I ask our listeners. What are you going to do to get involved this year? Are you going to get involved? Are you going to introduce somebody into the sport of hunting? Are you going to take somebody fishing, a neighbor, a kid, a grandson, a nephew, a niece? Are you going to introduce them into the outdoors? Are you going to get involved, with the General Assembly? Or are you just going to stand by and let these people run roughshod over you and your rights? So.
Heritage and culture die one
yes.
person. And one position at a time.
Yes.
We talk about transfer of firearms.
Go ahead, Dave.
You have to transfer knowledge.
Right. Go ahead, Dave.
I have one more question, and I've been down there, and I believe that I should be a good steward of what we've been given as a state.
Right.
And that means we have to take the responsibility, and it's up to nobody else, not to lobbyists. It's up to ourselves to go down to Annapolis and testify for bills or testify against bills that we definitely believe in.
Right, exactly
and
right.
If we don't do that, we're going to get what we're getting. I testified a couple years ago on the assault weapons bill because this bill comes up pretty much every single year.
Right.
Is the Remington 1100 and the Remington 1187 and the Beretta 391 still on that list?
We don't know. The governor has not actually released. What we do know is they're probably going to reintroduce the exact language, starting with the language that they had in 2004. And then they've expanded that somewhat. So there's new models out since then. And so the big thing, the biggest risk right now is not necessarily the model names. It's that one feature test we talked about a little while ago.
Yep, threaded barrel and...
Yeah, anything with a pistol grip.
Pistol grip, yep. Yeah, that would be your turkey gun there, Dave.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because, you know, the thing is they pass these bills and they don't even, these politicians very seldom read what's in them.
That's true.
Exactly. And that's where we have to be good citizens. You can get the copy of the bills. And even when they have the rally, if anybody attends the rally, don't just stand out on the lawyer's mall. Go into those offices. Those people work for us.
That's right. We elected them. They work for us. You're absolutely right. Yep. People are afraid.
Salary.
Yep. People are afraid to go and talk to their general assembly person because of, you know, their senator, their representative, whoever it might be. They're afraid to go talk to them. Oh, I can't get parking in Annapolis, or I can't take a day off or whatever. What's more important? What is more important? All right, Dave, thanks for the good call. Appreciate
that. Thank you.
Yep. Stay in touch. Bye-bye. There we go. And we got John in Baltimore. Thanks for holding, John.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Question for Mr. Patrick. If anything is in this bill that fringes on the Second Amendment, now aren't our constitutional sheriffs in the state supposed to step up and stop this? They can with the government, and I understand they should be. They do it in the state too.
Now that's why they don't involve the sheriff's department in any of this. That's why it's all about Maryland State Police.
Well,
yeah.
Even so, the constitutional state sheriffs in the state and in every state in the country overrule anything that fringes on the Second Amendment.
Gotcha.
Well, what you've seen. So, thank you for your question. Thank you for your call. I think this one's important.
Yeah.
The answer really simply is shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe won't. And we saw this in Illinois, where Illinois passed a number of laws against possession, carry, everything else. And in the last year, we saw a couple of sheriffs there and state's attorneys. We saw sheriffs who said, look, I'm not going to go ahead and challenge people who are lawful, who want to carry for personal protection. I'm not going to arrest these people. And we saw state's attorneys in Illinois who individually would say, within the territory I am responsible for, I'm not going to prosecute those cases. If someone is caught with a firearm on their person, we're going to run checks. If they're clean, we're good. The problem, of course, with all that is, you know, I'm in Calvert County. So down here in the county, we have a sheriff. So if my sheriff were to say the same thing, if he were to say, look, you know, we're not going to go ahead and prosecute, and I'm not going to tell my deputies to prosecute. The issue, of course, is I also have a state police barracks, and I can't do that down here in this county. You could literally walk between the two of them in minutes. I mean, they're very close to each other, and they have overlapping territory. When my neighbor calls and says, I hear guns on this guy's property.
Right.
And, you know, she's from out of county. She just moved in from, like, Montgomery County.
Yeah, exactly.
Half a mile away. She hears gunshots. So they're always sending someone out to, I have, like, 18 ranges around me.
Right.
They'll send out. You may get the sheriff's deputies one day. You may get the troopers another day.
Right.
So you're really kind of rolling that dice. So the sheriffs, even if the sheriff did say, hey, we're going to constitutionally respect these rights, well, okay, state police work for the boss. And
right.
They work for the governor. And,
exactly.
And so their boss is going to tell them to do it. You're really rolling that dice. We can't rely on the, and this is really what it comes down to when it comes to a fundamental right. You cannot rely on the whimsy of those people who lord over us. And Leos are good people, but you can't rely on the whimsy of their bosses.
Gotcha.
To protect your rights.
Good
we
answer.
We have to stand up and protect them ourselves.
Very good. Does that do it for you there, John?
Well, yes and no, but, you know, I would say if these constitutional sheriffs, they take an oath to uphold the Constitution.
John, we got the point. And
I wanted to say was if they don't, then they should be voted out and somebody put in there that will stand up for our Second Amendment.
There you go.
You need to ask your sheriffs these questions. Mike Evans down here in Calvert County needs to be asked this question. We need to ask these questions in Anne Arundel County, Harford County, Baltimore County. Where do you stand on this? Will you evaluate these laws against your oath of the Constitution? What will you do? Granted, we still have state police and city police. They're going to do what they want, but it is an exceptionally valid point you make, John. Let's ask these questions, put these people on the spot, and get them to come one way or the other.
Hey, John, let me say this to you. There's going to be a man in Monday who's going to get a lot of press coverage. He's going to lay his hand on the Bible, and he's going to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States. How's that sound?
Well, that sounds good.
All right, but yeah, well, you know who it is.
Pardon me?
You know who I'm talking about.
No.
That would be President Barack Hussein Obama.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to swear to uphold the Constitution.
Well, that's true.
So. Okay, buddy. Hey, thanks. I got to go. Got to roll. Thanks,
okay.
John. All right, Claude, we got your call online. We're going to get to you next, but we do have to take this break. We've gone way long on the break, and I've got to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop, your hunting and fishing headquarters. Man, I'll tell you what, they're getting geared up for fishing season, that's for sure. And don't forget, you can get your license there. You can get all good information. If you call the fishing hotline, they probably have it updated. That's 410-247-FISH, 247-3474 for the fishing hotline at Clyde Sports Shop. They are your hunting headquarters as well. They do carry firearms for home protection and for hunting, and especially browning. If you're into the shooting sports, you like sporting clays, you like trap and skeet, the 725 Satori gets great ratings. That's the Satori, C-I-T-O-R-I. And if you like the over and under style for upland shooting or rabbits or whatever it might be, take a look at that great Satori sporting model, the 725. That's the one you want to ask for. For waterfowlers, it's the Maxis shotgun. That's an auto loader for waterfowl hunting. It comes in mossy oak duck blind camo, three and a half inch chambers, a new power drive gas system, reduces recoil, and then the full line of BPS shotguns, the pump shotgun from Browning, bottom ejection, the Invector choke tubes. Check them out for all different types of hunting, including turkey hunting, coming up here in the spring. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give them a call, 410-242-6108. Website, clydesports.com, 410-242-6108.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
The National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show is coming to Frederick, Maryland, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Kids under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, January 25th through 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Joan Jones. Along with the usual New Year's resolutions to exercise, lose weight, and live a healthier lifestyle, the beginning of the year is a good time to take some other less obvious measures to protect your health and prepare for the future. Make a medication list. Take the time to catalog the prescription and over-the-counter medications in your medicine cabinet, including the dosage and the reason you're taking it. Keep a paper copy in your wallet or wear an electronic medical alert bracelet. Get some sleep. Keeping your body fit is important, but so is making sure it gets enough rest. Studies show as many as 40% of older adults suffer sleep problems. Prepare for disaster. Natural disasters like Hurricanes Katrina and Sandy showed us we're all vulnerable to the loss of basic services. We could get cut off from medication and health care. And have tough conversations about end-of-life decisions and life-sustaining medical treatment. A website like prepareforyourcare.org can help. I'm Joan Jones with the Wall Street Journal.
My daughter is a handful. I've always had to keep my eye on her, but I didn't always watch out for myself. With so much noise about healthcare, I tuned it all out. With United Healthcare, I get information that matters. My individual health profile, not random statistics. They even reward me for addressing my health risks. So, I'm doing fine. But she's still going to give me a heart attack.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for more than 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare. Learn more at UHC.com.
All right, Flo, so the key to safe pest removal is staying calm.
Okay.
Says here this lady's got a badger in her attic.
Oh, I love badgers. Oh, sorry. Calm. There he is! Come here, little buddy. I thought he wanted a hug.
Badgers don't really hug.
Not yet. Oh, badger.
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive is like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty.
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners.
Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bed liner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we were with Patrick Shomo, president of Maryland Shall Issue, and we've got Claude on the line from Arbutus. Good morning, Claude. What's up?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Good.
Look, I carry high-capacity magazines for my job. Are they going to try to ban them now?
Patrick?
Just say the question again.
Question is, he carries high-capacity magazines for his job. They did not exclude the state police in New York. They've limited them now to 7 in their magazine. Is that correct, Patrick?
They have. They're going to modify the law in New York to go ahead and meet that. So what we've seen in the magazine, bill, now, one was introduced several days ago. It was introduced outside of the Maryland governor's press conference, so we don't know if this is the final. We're expecting that there may be yet more laws to come on magazines. In other words, what was put in the other day may not be the one that the governor is actually going to push. What we know right now is the one that was put in the other day would prohibit transfer, sale, or acquisition within the state, anything that holds more than 10 rounds. So it's much like the 20-round limit today. The way it works today is there's no ban on possession of anything more than 20 rounds. How do you know that, you know, for instance, if they go to this 10-round and you've got a 20-round right now, what we've seen so far is they're not going to do what New York did, which says, you know, mail in your or turn in your magazines. You could still possess them, still use them. New York made a law that says even if you have a magazine that can hold more than 7 rounds, you may not put more than 7 rounds into it.
Here's the stupid thing, and I work as a special police officer, okay? Police have been shooting, and you know this as well as I do. Sometimes it takes 45 rounds to put somebody down if they're hyped up on something. So, you know, you can't say 7 rounds is going to do the job. You know what I mean?
Well, that's correct.
Exactly what you mean.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly what you mean.
If you remember, does anybody remember Booker T. Jones? That name ring a bell to anybody?
I've heard of that name. But
yeah, Booker T. was a criminal from Baltimore City. He murdered a young lady in Anne Arundel County, and they confronted Booker T. on the street weeks after the event, and he charged the police. I think he had a butcher knife. He charged him. He was high on something.
Yeah, you're right. He came at him with a butcher knife.
At him with a butcher knife, and they lit him up, so to speak. And Booker just kept coming with the butcher knife. And I can't remember how many rounds they expended. I think they shot 31 rounds. I think they hit him 11 times, 19, whatever it was. But the outcry was that he was overkilled.
Well, here's the thing, Pat. Another thing. The state police are so backlogged with handgun permits right now.
Yeah, he just talked about that.
If you got a handgun permit that's expired and you put the paperwork in, police cannot arrest you for a handgun violation if you've got a handgun permit on you, because it clearly says on the permit, before effecting an arrest, contact the Maryland State Police. Because they're so backlogged that if you put your paperwork in and they didn't get to you in time, then your permit is technically still good.
Yes.
Yes, but you're not going to get a new one. You're not going to get somebody who applies right now is not going to get a new one. And Maryland Shall Issue is all over that, the Woolard case. And I don't know, are you expecting a ruling anytime soon on that?
So in Woolard, the answer is we don't know.
Yeah.
No one really does.
I need a handgun permit for my job as special police. We got to have a handgun.
Right, sure.
To carry. But you don't think they're going to issue us one?
Well, sure they are. Sure they are.
I mean, is backlogged, is always what I'm saying?
Well, here's when it comes to law enforcement officers. So, like Baltimore County, I think something like a third of the police in Baltimore County. Police in Baltimore County are not allowed to carry off duty unless they have a permit. They automatically qualify for a permit because of their law enforcement activity for this personal carry when they step out. Now, that said, because it's a personal permit, guess what? You guys are actually subject to our rules and regulations. Some of the rules and regulations they put in last year and this year are going to require that you go through an extensive training course. Now, they put an opt-out for Maryland Police Commission. What they're trying to do now is also say places where you can and cannot carry. This is going to apply to you guys the same as it does to everybody else. So if a lawful person cannot carry within 1,000 foot of a school, guess what? Neither can an off-duty police officer.
Nice.
Unless laws changed.
But the stupid thing is, Pat, I mean, as special police, we can't carry off-duty. We can only carry while on the job.
Right.
And we lock up a lot of people, which is stupid to us, but that's the state police rules and regulations.
All right. Claude, look, we got to roll. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's talk to Rick in Catonsville. Good morning.
Hi. How you doing? Good morning, guys.
Good.
Good morning, Patrick. President, you should be real president.
God help us all.
Yeah, that would be something.
No, I mean, I'm telling you. Anyway, okay, a couple of things. One, you talk about this, you have to go get license training. We already do that in Maryland. I did that, my training. You literally get certificate after you get that one-hour training. They explain you, show you safety, this and that, all of that. That's already in the place in the Maryland. Nobody even saying that. That's already there. But nobody look at it. People keep talking about a background check, and you can buy a gun. No, you can't. Not in the Maryland. You have to go, even at the gun show, you go, where first time I bought my firearm back in 2002, you go buy a gun, they take your advance, like you take a deposit, and then they do the background check, and like 30 days later, they call me to come pick up my gun. So that don't even make sense. All of these things are already in the place. So what more are they looking for? I bought a gun from Clyde's Sports Shop. Handgun, it was a Kimball, and it was never bought in the Maryland, so it took them three months to go through the state police to get approved that if they can sell that here, and it's just a simple hand 45, but because nobody ever bought it, it took me almost 3 to 4 months before I got the gun in my hand. It took them that long to clear everything through the state, so I don't know what...
Thank God, Rick, you weren't in a position where you felt threatened and needed to have immediate protection. You felt threatened by somebody in the neighborhood, somebody on the job or something like that, and you need, you know, you were worried about protecting yourself. So, you know, but that's pretty much the game plan, isn't it, Patrick? To delay, to make it expensive, to make it as inconvenient for a law-abiding citizen to have a firearm. Isn't that the basic boiled down version? We want to make it hard for you to buy a gun.
We call it gun control version 2. And what you're looking at is that the Supreme Court told them, especially with handguns, you cannot ban possession of these things. And they told it to D.C. and they told it to Chicago. So,
right.
Okay, we can't ban them. So gun control 2, version 2, essentially is make it so expensive, so onerous, and make the penalties for owning a firearm so extreme that people will just stop doing it. They want to increase the cost. So you talk about the one-hour training course risk. Rick, you do this, you know, one-hour online thing. It's free. By law, it has to be free. And away you go. It's a safety presentation.
Right.
What they're going to do is convert that into a actual class, 8 hours. You're going to have a live fire requirement. And you're going to have to pay for all this. You're going to have to pay the instructors. The course doesn't exist. They're going to create it out of whole cloth. The goal is to make it run somewhere, I'm told, about $400. So what that means is before you can buy the $400 handgun, you have to actually pay a $400 fee to get there. And what this does is it reduces the number of people who can do it. If you can barely afford your $400 gun, you're definitely not going to be able to afford the $400 course. And get this, a day off from work. You have to add that to the cost.
Right.
2 days off of work. And you have to wait in line to take this class. The whole point of this thing is to make it as difficult. It's exactly what Alan said, to make it difficult and expensive and dangerous, legally dangerous, to own a firearm. One of the pieces of law they just introduced, and Alan, this is one that I think your people are especially going to be interested in. They just put this in yesterday.
My people are...
Hunters.
Yeah, hunters in particular, if you call them my people, but my people are gun owners and citizens around the state.
Your listeners.
There you go.
One of the things your listeners are going to be especially concerned about is they just introduced a piece of law that requires, it changes Maryland law. If you have a firearm at home, loaded or unloaded, and it is left in a location where a prohibited person or a child could, not would, but could touch it, it is a criminal event. Today the law says if you have a loaded firearm and a child gets access to it, you can be fined. If you know a child would get access to it,
right.
Would, not could.
Right.
It's up to a $2,000 fine or a $1,000 fine.
Right.
This new change says if someone could get access to it, if the burglar could break into your house and touch an unloaded shotgun, you go to jail for 2 years.
Nice.
That just got introduced yesterday.
Let's hope.
I don't have kids. You don't have kids, but
right.
You got shotguns.
Right.
They're on a rack
right.
In your living room. Next
right.
To those, next to those gear. Guess what? You go to jail if a burglar could break into your house and touch an unloaded shotgun.
I think most people right now are reading the handwriting on the wall, and they are investing not only in firearms, but they're investing in the safekeeping of those firearms. They see the, you know, people aren't stupid. I've got a friend who's a gun safe dealer. Can't get stock to go to a show to sell more gun safes because the manufacturing of gun safes is so far behind right now. Same way with all these firearms. You know, these people are sitting around with empty shelves and that type of thing. Hey, Rick, thanks for the call. We appreciate that. There is a feeding frenzy out there among people. I was in a gun shop the other day, and the guy behind the counter goes, "I don't know how many times I heard that." You know, recently, hey, I'm looking to buy my first gun. People are scared, and they are scared that they are not going to be able to possess a firearm, which is their God-given right. People who have never thought about owning firearms are purchasing firearms. They're going through the voluntary courses. They're paying for the NRA course. They're going to the shooting ranges, and they're learning because they see the threat that is coming down the road in our General Assembly, in our Congress of the United States, and they see what New York has done, and they don't like it. So I think people are pretty well informed, and that's one of the reasons why you're here, Patrick, to tell us about some of the specific laws. When we come back from a break, we're gonna ask you to just kind of tick off the laws. You mentioned some of them, and we'll round out the rest of the conversation, reviewing what's on the books and how people can get in touch and join Maryland Show Issues. That sound good, Patrick?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Sean Mann, World Goose Calling Champion, Champion of Champion, is a sponsor of the Outdoorsman Radio Show, and we always like his participation. His hunting business is on Maryland's Eastern Shore and in Canada. If you'd like to go on the waterfowl hunt of your life, contact Sean Mann for a Canadian waterfowl shoot starting next year, or this year, I guess, starting late summer, early fall. You can call him at 800-345-4539. Yeah, see if he's got any spots in this year's season. See if he'll take you on a waterfowl hunt right here in Maryland. You can call that number, 800-345-4539, or visit the website, www.seanmann.com. Now, Sean Mann has also created the line of Sean Mann waterfowl calls, the Eastern Shoreman being the most popular, the one that's won the world championships for him and others. And the website will also show you all the models of all the Sean Mann calls for every type of waterfowl hunting, geese, ducks, snow geese, and the like. SeanMann.com, www.SeanMann.com, or call the office here toll-free, 800-345-4539. Let me tell you about Tochterman's. I talked to the folks at Tochterman's the other day. They liked our commercial last week, by the way, when we talked about their various experts in the various fields of fishing. If you want to go bass fishing, you talk to Gene. Gene goes and Gene knows. You want to go fly fishing, you talk to Joe. Joe goes and Joe knows. Well, the folks at Tochterman's go, and they know. For any type of fishing you want to do, whether you're traveling to Florida to go for tarpon, whether you're headed to Canada for brook trout, they have got the people that know exactly what to do and how to do it, what equipment you need to travel this time of year. If you're getting ready for Maryland fishing season, they've got all the striper gear, all the particular trolling lures and that type of thing. And if you want to make your own, they've got the complete selection of lure building accessories and equipment right there in the specialized lure building room on the second floor. Tochterman's, downtown Baltimore, 1919, 1925 Eastern Avenue. That's 1919, 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point. That's just 2.5 blocks east of Broadway, and you'll find them right there. Same location, same family name since 1916. Phone number, 410-327-6942. That's 410-327-6942 for Tochterman's Fish and Tackle. If you love the great outdoors, you'll love the National Rifle Association's Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show. It's 3 big days of hunting and fishing excitement, January 25th through the 27th at the Eventplex at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick, Maryland. See over 200 hunting and fishing exhibitors, the NRA Great American Whitetail Collection, nationally known seminar speakers, the Mason-Dixon Big Buck Contest, and more. The first 200 attendees each day receive a free Drury Outdoors DVD. General admission, $10. NRA members, $8. Children under 9 admitted free. Weekend passes are available. Renew your NRA membership at the show for $35 and receive a free weekend pass to show. It's the 2013 NRA Great American Hunting and Outdoor Show, 1 to 7 p.m. on Friday, January 25th, 9 to 7 on Saturday the 26th, and 9 to 5 on Sunday, January 27th at the Frederick Fairgrounds in Frederick. Visit NRAHuntingShow.org for more information. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
All right, we're back. Let's see. Where do I want to go with this? Well, I guess we're coming to the end of the hour here pretty quick. Why don't you give us a tick off, Pat, tick off some of the laws that we should be concerned about and some of the chances. So, go ahead.
So what we're looking at, just to round them all off, is we're looking at the governor is pushing for what he calls an assault weapon ban. Again, assault weapon is a made-up term. It doesn't actually mean anything. It's a semi-automatic rifle, basically.
Right, exactly.
They got 145 they're hinting at that they're going to specifically ban, and they're going to ban anything that is not one of those models that has either a pistol grip, adjustable stock, threaded barrels. It's a centerfire rifle with anything that prevents a heat shroud, which prevents your hand from getting burned if you fire it, or can accept a certain magazine of a certain capacity. It's considered an assault weapon. It's banned. That doesn't mean you have to do extra paperwork to buy it. It means it is banned. It's done. It's over. No more. Next thing you're looking at is they're looking at a magazine limit bill. That's going to say that no magazines may be transferred, brought into the state, purchased, acquired, limiting them to 10 rounds. Of course, the real goal here is not to cut down on the number of magazines in the state. The real goal is to limit the number of firearms sold to the state. The fact of the matter is, it is harder to buy a handgun or a rifle if it accepts bigger than 10 rounds, magazines with more than 10 rounds. The manufacturer either has to modify a magazine, put some type of limiter in there, something. The whole point of this is to limit the number of firearms sold in this state. We saw New York go to 7. The reason for that is a lot of popular handgun models have 10-round magazines available, set aftermarket. They can be sold in the state. As of now, they cannot, because you cannot purchase a 10-round magazine and limit it to 7 in New York State anymore. They took a lot of guns off the market. The other thing we're going to see, and this is the really scary one, all this is going to be extended. This is the first bite of the apple. They're coming back for more. The governor has already said he is disappointed he can't go as far as he can on the next one. They want to introduce a owner licensing scheme. They're going to introduce an owner licensing scheme. When you want to purchase a handgun in the state of Maryland, they are going to make you fill out a permission slip for it, not a background check. You're going to have to do fingerprints. You are going to have to pay a fee. You are going to have to take a live training class, which doesn't exist yet, but is going to be created by a body of politicians that are appointed by the governor. That training class is going to probably require live fire. This is what they tried to do last year. Beat it. We got to beat it again. That live fire training class and everything else, NRA classes won't count, hunter safety won't count, none of that's going to count. They're going to license you. You're going to have to do it for every handgun purchase. Last year, those costs were estimated by both police and by private groups to be almost $400 per class, you know, per incident. They're going to make you do it for every single purchase of a handgun. The governor has already said two things about this. One, he wanted it to apply to every single firearm in the state. Shotguns, you name it, doesn't matter. Bolt guns, doesn't matter. Two, he's disappointed. He's said this. This is not guesswork. He has said he is disappointed he was not able to make it retroactive to every gun owner in the state today. What he wants to do, and he just thinks he can't get it this time, but he's going to push for, he wants to make it such that you got a gun, you will have to go to the state, give them fingerprints, do all of this work, pay all of this money to get permission to own the firearms you already have. Okay, this is where we are going.
So if I own a gun, I've got to eventually register with the state of Maryland that I have a firearm. Nice.
Yes, and ask them permission to own the thing.
Ask the state permission to own a firearm that's guaranteed under the Constitution.
Or you will be a criminal and you are subject to multiple years.
Never broken a law, but then I would be a criminal. Yep.
Hey, but the gangbangers keep theirs.
Hey, the gangbangers get to keep theirs, folks. Well, hey, God bless you, Patrick Shomo, President
Maryland of
MarylandShallIssue.org. Looking forward to working with you in the future.
Sign up to our email list.
Yep, sign up for the email list. Don't forget, ellisoutdoors.com is the website. You can listen to the podcast there. It'll be up online middle of next week for this show. You can also like us on Facebook, if you would. It's all on ellisoutdoors.com.